and see what it is like. This book, labelled 1953 Book One, Physical One, on the cover, is the start of my lab notebooks during the period that I worked with David Scott in Connaught Medical Research Laboratories. So it overlaps in part the book Insulin, labelled Insulin, which, of which I've recorded some comments and clarifies some of the uncertainties in that particular account. So here we go with 1953, Book One, the first experiments carried out in Toronto, where I'm working in room 327 of the School of Hygiene building, College Street, Toronto. See one page at once. Yeah. So it's not so good in the end. Then I think I will turn it over with the book. Okay. I need to see both pages. The first experiment begins on October 27th and is my attempt to make the Macabuff method of filter paper electrophoresis suitable for my experiments with insulin. So I just used something that I could detect on filter paper, aniline phthalate and aniline phosphate in butanol, as prepared several months ago by Ted B, as indicators for paper electrophoresis with sugars. Using number 54 Wattman paper, which I remember very well as a very hard paper that wouldn't shed fibres. I like that paper, filter paper very much. And it starts off by saying a glucose spot more rapid than sucrose in developing a colour with aniline phthalate. And more intense. And I have some doubts about the quality of the aniline phthalate used in this experiment because it had to be heated enough that the paper chars before you could see anything. Spraying was inconvenient and smelly, and so I later used dipping for uniformity. The aniline phthalate was dissolved in butanol. And so they, on the page there were some tests of trying to detect the position of glucose or sucrose on filter paper using aniline phthalate. And then the next page, next couple of pages are similar experiments. How long were you heated? 6 minutes, 9 minutes, 12 minutes? Double dip, etc., etc. Glucose 2.5, blotted, glucose saturated, so on. It is not very satisfactory, rather insensitive. So now I begin to try protein spots. When we're somewhere further down in the book, insulin dissolved in about 0.1 normal HCl with using ninhydrin as the stain in 0.5 molar acetic acid. It gives a fear. You can see the fingerprints on the filter paper, but not insulin, which of course is because ninhydrin reacts with free amino groups, with N-terminal amino groups, not very sensitive with a protein. So in anhydrin give clear fingerprint stains, but insulin spot is poorly coloured. So not understanding how to detect protein on filter paper is the problem. And then they have the comment, which is the obvious solution, is look up wool or silk dyes, preferably black, realizing that I could use a wool dye instead of trying to do it chemically. I tried silver nitrate, ammonium hydroxide. Blackness very rapid, but too general. October, still setting up solutions in. No, in over 10 hydrochloric acid, not using dyes yet. More experiments with filter paper, just not satisfactory at all. I don't know why I'm not using the dyes yet, but I'm not. Many pages of filter paper strips, all very faint. And then here, on Monday, November 2nd, I got some azocarmin B solution from Pulik. I don't even spell his name right, P-O-U-L-I-C-H instead of P-O-U-L-I-K, Dave Pulik, who later became a great friend of mine. And the collaborator in many experiments. He worked for Fraser, who was the person who used to play golf with David Scott. So Fraser had a lab down below on the different floor, and Dave Pulik worked there, and he had an azocarmin solution. I have a test here with their test gave colour poorer than ninhydrin by several times. Retested with the same insulin and old concentration, similar, and to show stain, etc., etc. Easy to use and wash out, but. And not yet working. Evidently, began to get a dye solution here on Monday, November 2nd, because. I have made a near solution of amido S, which is amido Schwartz, amido black, in 10% acetic acid, in 50% methanol. I'm sure I got that recipe from Dave Pulik. Amido black became the stain which we use very extensively later on. So here is the beginning of amido Schwartz, as I then called it, compared with azo. A Carmen B, and clearly the amido Schwartz was much more sensitive. Though I'm also aware of protein binding to the paper, because I have a comment here that since adsorption is important, full tests on thick washed paper were made. But don't forget, calcium paper might be better, so try this too. Something that I evidently thought was quite satisfactory. Repeated the experiment with more baths and minimum of 10 minutes per bath, a blot in between the baths. First bath removes the great majority of the unbound dye, so only this need be renewed each time. So moving the filter paper from bath to bath to bath. I'm very happy with some sort of rocking apparatus that I made, because I got a big comment, this is it. November 3rd, washing at 60 degrees gives very fast washing, but makes the spots less defined and fainter. Learning how to stain. Comment here that try stepping up the methanol. If this doesn't work, try 5 minutes stain, as if it were, and if it works, 10 minutes is probably more than ample. Also baking, with a comment that this is hopeless later on. So we're testing different dilutions now of insulin spots on the filter paper. Made from stock, 0.25% is insulin in 0.1 HCl solutions, diluted in the following way, and so a series of dilutions from 0.25% down to 0.0039%, and I could see. At the 1.5 micrograms. Bakes at 110 degrees. On Friday, November 6th, began to set up the Macabuff drying method with filter paper and water and glucose on spots at various positions, and tried to see what would happen. So I have a comment here that after a good half an hour of evaporation, one strip was removed and tested, and I could see where things had moved. The results very promising, and the migration is definite. So I have an idea that the evaporation is moving the spots, as was required to make Macabuff's method work. and trying different temperatures. Very large, with a comment that this moved so much in 20 minutes, and one spot was dry in the middle. Do not abandon these hard, smooth texture papers. Still liking number 54. An experiment where the central line looks beautifully narrow, but cross evaporation is marked. The evaporation moved the spots to the edge of the paper as well as along the paper. And so I set up a wide 54 paper with central spots of ink and looked to see what happens. Not happy with that, so I'm looking for a water-soluble coloured compound, especially as this butanol vapour is unpleasant. I can then use a dye, at least in the early tests, and I thought of using indigo as an excellent possibility, as it should be harmless, but its solubility is very low. I haven't yet realised that this method is really not worth bothering with. And pages of these tests. Trouble with November 9th, Monday, November 9th, trouble with cross rod visible, cut it out, etc. Trouble. So I started to close the chamber and see what would happen. Results look a little better than the other paper, but not much. I have a note here. Remember, insulin is almost insoluble in water. November 11th, still trying it. Got so warm, some of these papers, that steaming occurred. Note that steaming occurs. It would appear that Saturday, the November 14th, was the last experiment in this book with the Macabre method, at least there's a change in heart, because Sunday, November 15th, I began to, or Monday, November 16th, began to think about using electrophoresis, conventional electrophoresis. And I have a diagram of the circuit that I made, which was contained a 30 milliamp meter in series with four resistors. Oddly enough, here in 2015, I still have that piece of apparatus, which was made 60 years earlier. That apparatus on this board, circuit drawn November 16th. worrying about electrolytic products in the electrode chambers, and so set up a rather complicated system with now using side strips. No, I haven't quite given up Macabre, I see. An interesting comment on Wednesday, November 18th. The university DC supply failed at 5 p.m. and not on again for about 10 minutes. In those days, Toronto had still not made up its mind whether to use direct current or alternating current, at least in the university. So the university still had direct current supply voltages available in wall sockets, and the AC was, and I don't suppose it still is, but in Toronto the AC was an alternating current at 50 cycles instead of 60 cycles, and that when you moved your hand across the underneath the light illuminated by the 50 cycle, you could see the movement. It was in little frames, the difference between the light retention in at a 60th of a second versus a 50th of a second. So Toronto still had 50 cycle AC and 200 volts, I think it was about 200 volts DC, quite dangerous. But it failed on that day at 5 o'clock. Still Macabre thing. I really did think his method was worth worrying about, worth using, but it really wasn't. Sunday, November 22nd, I began to recognize a problem. Though the details are not clear, knowing what I later found out, it appears that the insulin is sticking to the filter paper, as there's a comment here that this is not nice, and query lack of sodium ions. Really was persistent at something that was really a complete waste of time. Tuesday, November 24th, set up with Gordon Dixon's enzymes. Gordon Dixon was my friend, a graduate student working with Charlie Haynes. Results very faint, but about 2 centimeter migration towards query the anode. Still trying to do the air evaporation. And December 1st, Tuesday, I set up 24 milligrams of insulin in 6 different positions and tried various things. Results not much different. They look very poor. December 2nd. Insulin moving on filter paper. Trying to do evaporation still. The result's good, except that the paper chars very easily. But it confirmed that it is the paper used which is causing the trouble, as the bands are well defined here. Insulin and glucose. Sunday, December 6th. No concern about what the day of the week is. Monday, December 7th. Trying to use now narrow papers so that evaporation sideways is not a problem. So using very narrow strips of paper with a comment that number 3 was a very narrow band with an exclamation mark. My comment is that the Monday, December 7th in the morning, the results are very poor. Must have had too little insulin on. So set up at 10:30 and took up one off at 11:10. In this case, I was more satisfied. The flow clearly is very considerable. So much so that on the next page I say, results very sharp band. Extremely promising. Pages and pages still on this wasted effort. Saturday, December 12th, 12:30 p.m. set up with number 3 paper. December 14th, query siphoning taking place. Charlie Haynes, evidently, I've been talking to him about it, because on Wednesday, December 16th, I have a note that CSH suggests that a glycerol, an antifreeze, might cut down adsorption. Saturday, December 19th. Wednesday, December 30th. Thursday, December 31st. Here I am now trying to get insulin to migrate on a paper, and I have sodium fluoride, sodium chloride, sodium bromide, and sodium acetate. And I'm beginning to realize that the insulin is just sticking to the paper and unrolling like a carpet. Trying to avoid the problem by trying different solutions as buffer, sodium chloride as the main buffer component of the main electrolyte, and with the 100th normal zinc chloride to have two positive ions, or sodium sulfate to give two negative ions, or sodium nitrate just to see if the iron made a difference. And looking at them, there really isn't any appreciable improvement. All of them, insulin is adsorbing to the paper and giving a smear. On Friday, January 1st, 1954, so I work New Year's Day, shows sodium chloride, sodium nitrate, sodium sulfate, and zinc chloride. And it's a nice, clear demonstration of the fact that the electrophoresis is in trouble because of adsorption. I make the comment then, set up in with 0.1 molar sodium chloride sulfate potassium ferrous cyanide to give a trivalent ion, and potassium ferrous cyanide. But the ferrous cyanide oxidized to the ferrous cyanide. Beginning to think that at the present stage I may have to use a frontal type of paper electrophoresis, as none of these substances reduces the tail much as measured on longer times. Slowly getting to the point of realizing that I need to have a different material than filter paper. Tried some tried aluminum chloride, magnesium chloride, and glutamic acid. Note that on Saturday, this was Saturday, January the 2nd, the aluminum chloride one charred at 150 degrees. Tried breaking longer at 110. Monday, January 4th. Thursday, January 5th. And here is the beginning of starch gel electrophoresis. The difference being on Thursday, January the 7th, I was using filter paper and having all these troubles. And then on January 10, 23rd, I set up with dilute soluble starch containing 0.1 molar acetic acid and 0.01 molar magnesium chloride. And they made a slit in the jelly and introduced 1% insulin in and ran for 3/4 of an hour at 220 volts. That's the DC voltage in the university DC power sockets. Result from very, very promising. So here I'll pause from the account of the journal, and no, it's still recording. Yeah. I'll pause from the journal and explain what was going on, which is not recorded here, and that is that on that Saturday morning, I heard that in the local hospital for sick children, they were using the Kunkel and Slater starch grain method of electrophoresis, which I'd noticed in my planning notes. This method consisted of making a tray, probably about 12 inches long, maybe about 6 inches wide and half an inch deep, and filling the tray with starch grains, not starch solution or anything, starch grains, and then putting buffer, moistening the whole system with buffer. So the proteins now are migrating around the starch grains in the buffer, which is moistening this whole box, or rather like a wet sand box, except it's a wet starch grain box. And Kunkel and Slater had shown that this method, the proteins did not stick to the starch, though they knew very well that proteins stuck to filter paper. So this was their improvement. However, the downside of it was that in order to find the protein, you had to cut the starch, moist starch grain block, as it were, into many slices and do a protein determination on every slice. So although the results were very pretty, the labour was enormous, because you'd have to do 40 protein determinations to get one run out of the system. And I saw this on the morning, that morning, in 1954. And then I remembered helping my mother, and as I always put this in quotation marks, helping my mother, at least I was there, when she was doing the laundry. And in tidying up, noticed that the starch that she'd made a soluble starch, gooey material, to allow starching the collars of my father's shirt. And when you tied it up, this would be jelly, I noticed, and evidently remembered, because I thought, well, let me take the starch, and instead of trying to make a moist bed, I'd cook the starch and make a jelly. And then I could stain the jelly with a medium black or whatever, and see the pattern with very little work relative to 40 protein determinations. And so I went back to Connaught Labs and went around various stock rooms, because Saturday morning nobody around, and I had a key that would get me into any place, and I knew the stock rooms. So I found some starch powder, which was called starch according to Lindner. I didn't know what that meant at that time. But I found that if you took this starch, you could heat it up in water or in a buffer, and it would dissolve become soluble, and make if allowed to set, would make a jelly. at a high concentration. So I went back and set up dilute soluble starch jelly containing 0.1 normal HCl and 0.01 normal magnesium chloride, with a question mark about whether that was necessary. I made a slit in the jelly, introduced the 1% insulin into it, and ran it for 3/4 of an hour at 220 volts. And the result was very promising when I stained the gel, although only surface staining was possible. But the insulin migrated as a beautiful band, not a bit of smearing. That was the beginning of starch gel electrophoresis. And very rapidly thereafter, I began to realize that this was a useful method. And I didn't do any more experiments with filter paper at all. Here I am, Sunday, January 26, set up at 11:50 at 110 volts. Etc. Different slits, different little problems. January, Tuesday, January, set up with a good slit and began to understand that you had to look at a slice of the gel rather than at the surface because of some distortion during the migration. Tuesday, December 1st, zinc-free insulin again, and the end of this book is refers to the insulin work. December 1st with Dr. David A. Scott beginning to do various assays in the insulin work, and that's why the insulin book is in a sense in parallel with this that I call Physical One and Insulin are two books that are running in parallel, and just one entry in the physical book referring to December 1st with David A. Scott, with D. A. Scott trying to precipitate insulin, and that's what we saw in the insulin book. That the insulin book begins at that same date, December 2nd, of the in the physical notebook. The Tuesday, February 2nd, is the beginning of some of these experiments. I'm a little confused there. Tuesday, December 3rd, in one book, and Wednesday, December 2nd, in the other book. So there is the end of one book and the beginning of another book. Consecutive. So the insulin book is consecutive to, it follows 1953-1, then insulin, a book is really the next one in the series. And we'll look and see where physical two occurs in a. Yeah, so it's making.